Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host for the podcast, and today we have the lovely Louise James on. Now, Louise has gone through, like most of us, our dramas in life, but we're not like most of us. We actually work our way through them and create a positive out of the negative. So sometimes we need these dramas just so we do that backflip on life and start to move forward in a more positive way. So if you're stuck there, still in the drama, then maybe you need to listen to this podcast a little bit carefully, because Louise has got everything down pat just like that. But no more from me. I'm going to introduce you to Louise. Come on in, Louise. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks so much for having me, Susan.
Louise, actually, we tested your microphone before and it was good, but it's gone very quiet.
Oh, has it? Oh, dear.
I can only just hear you. It was okay before.
Yes, I'm not sure what's happened there. Apologies. Let me see if I can get it adjusted. I can see that it's becoming any better now.
That's better. Yeah, you've just come a bit closer, I think. Yeah, that's cool.
You'll get a full face of me now.
That's all right. I'll come off the screen soon, and the people on the podcast can't see anyway.
That's true enough.
So Louise, tell us about your life. How did you get to where you are now?
So I'm, as you can probably hear from my accent, I'm originally from England, although actually I was born on the Rock of Gibraltar, which is south of Spain. My father was a naval man. And I arrived in Australia about 20 years ago, actually this October. I have worked in corporate world and also for a number of not-for-profits, and had a great life through traveling and experiencing different things, but actually came to sort of full stop moment for me in 2015 when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I'm a single mother with two children, and my children at the time, my son was 11 and my daughter was 9. And we'd moved to the countryside and had settled down here. My son had been diagnosed just about a year or so before then with Asperger's, autism, as it's now called, now that we know how to spell and say the name Asperger's. They've changed the labeling. So we moved down into the countryside. So it was a bit of a shock, I think, at first. I was like, oh my goodness, I feel like I've done my dues in life. And from that experience with breast cancer, I had a roller coaster year of treatments. And I actually found that it was after cancer that when I tried to go back to my old life and my old way of being, that I really started to realize there were lessons I hadn't fully learned from that experience, and that I wasn't really able to move forward until I'd sort of uncovered what perhaps limiting beliefs or old stories that were holding me back from really living my true authentic self.
So basically you were diagnosed with breast cancer around the same time your son was diagnosed with Asperger's.
He had been diagnosed a couple of years beforehand, a few years before, but I think it was, you know, no one wants to hear this when you are diagnosed with cancer, that, you know, that there's an element of your life, there's a disconnect between your body and mind. And so that's the sort of breaking down within your body. And I hadn't really listened to it. And I'm sure all mothers out there know that you keep going until you sort of collapse in a heap. And I think with myself, it was very much that I just kept going, going and going, didn't listen to my own, you know, my body was screaming at the time, like, just stop, until it actually sort of made me fully stop. and have to take care of itself. So I had sort of stopped listening to my own inner wisdom and what my bodies and emotions were telling me, which actually served me well, as in surviving that experience. But afterwards, I knew that if I had limited time in life, I really wanted to experience life fully and thrive in life, and that there were things that I needed to do to help me really on that pathway, which is when I started a new way of looking at things and taking a more holistic approach in life, restudying holistic counseling, understanding my mind and body connection, really listening to my intuition. And when I was being triggered, what did that mean for me? What was I missing? And really listening to the words that I was telling myself, the old stories that we take as like gospel. But actually, if we pause, the power in that is actually reflecting and going, is this really what I want to do in life? Is this something someone's told me what I should be doing with my life? Or is this an old pattern from childhood that I just haven't addressed? So I started my own self-discovery journey, and starting to transform my life from mind, body and soul, really. Because I think, you know, one thing that cancer does, it really wakes you up. And if you have a limit with your time, we often don't face that until we are given a life-threatening disease, is, okay, what do I really want to do? How do I want to live my life fully? So that's where I came to starting that journey.
Wow. So you've been diagnosed, I've never had that. So I really don't know what you're going through, because I can only imagine. But the thought of being given a time frame or a possible time frame, and you've got young children, and yours were only 11 and 15, were they 11?
11 and 9, yeah.
11 and 9, yeah. And a single mum. I guess I didn't put that in, but a single mum, that would have been horrendous. Like, I would think I would have gone into a sort of a bit of a meltdown myself. Is that what you experienced first? Like, if somebody was experiencing exactly that, what is it that they're first going through?
Well, I think the first part is shock. And you kind of sort of disassociate. So I remember when I was actually told I had cancer, I had a friend with me. So that's the first thing I'd always say to anyone: take someone in with you, because it kind of hear blah, blah, blah when the doctor's telling you something. And you almost, well, for me, I disassociated with my body. And I remember like almost watching what was happening, but not participating in it, not really taking in what was being discussed. Then there was that element of protection mode for the children, not trying to show them, illustrate too much what I was thinking. And so I would have, of course, I had those moments where, you know, I had crying when they were at school. I tried to pack my emotions into little jars and go, I'll review you later. Because when you don't know what time left you have, it actually is a bit freeing, to be honest. And I actually look back on my life and thought, I'm really glad I've got to this point with the children. I've shown them where I wanted to live, that they had the space. And it actually was afterwards, where you are during treatment so busy. So I had chemotherapy and radiotherapy, and then I actually ended up having a full hysterectomy. But I was in such a robot. I call it the treatment treadmill. You've got your head down, you follow your doctor's directions because you want to know you're giving yourself the best chance. But it was on the other side where I call it the cancer circus, where your appointments for seeing specialists become further and further apart. So you're actually, you know, gone from the full job of surviving to, okay, how do I want to live my life? And there is that sort of cloud for the first 5 years, because ironically, I had worked for a cancer organization years before. So it always was spoken of that 5 years is when you counted as a survivor. So I almost was fearful of planning too much ahead of time, just in case I wasn't here. But at the same time, is really living fully and enjoying those simple things. So, you know, moments in nature, catching up with friends, just writing. And writing for me and getting the words out and expressing myself was the beginning. And it was from that point that I actually started capturing moments during that time. And then later on, that's when I wrote my book, No Full Stops. And it was a memoir from that year. The children were my litmus test at the time of how I was doing and how well I was. And my son, because he's quite direct in some of his manners, you know, had come in at one point and I had just heard, and he was trying to calculate my percentage of survival rate. And I was like, what? How are you doing this? And he was very pragmatic with it. You know, I've taken it by the number of women in Australia have cancer. And he came up with a percentage. And he said, and I times it by 1,000 to come up with this percentage. And in my mind, I was going, should be times by 100, not 1,000 to get a percentage. But I was like, don't say anything, because then he'll have his way of thinking that. And my daughter, during that time, and one of the things that I put in the book was a lot of the beautiful notes that she wrote during that time, and her words like follow your dreams and keep being hummus, which she meant humorous. And then there was one line on it that I just had to sort of hold myself in, because she went, I will never forget you. And I was like, I haven't gone anywhere yet.
Yeah. Hang on. Whoa, lady. Yeah.
Oh, you're old. What have you heard? So humor helped me a lot during that time, and that comes through, but also the children. And I think it's about being honest with where you are. And I think that's what was very freeing in that time. You become really truthful to who you are. You're not so apologetic. People do allow you a bit more license, I think, at that time. But it's also, yeah, it was freeing. And so on the other side, my mental health went down probably afterwards, because you're sort of picking yourself up and going, who am I? You know, obviously I lost my hair, and you know that intellectually that's going to happen. But when it does, it was actually the growing back, because when it grew back, they don't put that in the memo, that you never know what your hair is going to grow back like, but it takes so much time to grow back. So at one point I had a strip down the middle of my head that was blank, and then the rest was growing on either side. So I was like, this is like the reverse Brazilian, for goodness sake. And then it started growing really curly and up and out like a big microphone. So I was like, oh, for goodness sake. And it's very, you feel very shallow, because you're like, I'm very glad I'm alive. But then you're like, can I just blend in with everybody again? So it was interesting to see how people reacted. And I remember thinking at one point, this summer beanie I was wearing in the dog park, and thinking I looked quite trendy or feeling a little bit more pepped up. And this man came up to me and said, have you got leukemia? So I was like, oh God, I must look really sick still. But you know, you get through that part. And I think for me, it was being open, being truthful, really expressing what your emotions are. As I say, writing, that journaling and that free writing really helped me just tap back into my intuition and really be honest with what I was feeling and what I wanted to do. So those are some of the things that during that time that really helped me. And I realized that, you know, we get busy with life, and it was actually slowed me down. And then I had to accept where I was and surrendered that my body was not going to snap back quickly, that I would get tired still, and I would just have to be gentle and go gently with myself as I came to the other side.
So how long was that process? How long did that sort of take? So you had the actual healing, or the working on the operations and that real physical aspect. And then you said, like, you were going to lots of doctors and rah, rah, rah. Then you said they started to extend.
Yeah.
And you've done the chemo. I have no idea on that time frame. Is that like 2 years, 5 years? Like, because you're going through so much that it's a little bit hard to comprehend.
Yeah, and I think that the main point I would make to anyone listening, because most of us will have known someone or may unfortunately have experienced it ourselves, is really allowing that person to express what they're feeling, to ask them what they need, and to give them space to explore. It's different from everybody. So I never knew. I'd heard of chemotherapy. I mean, my baseline was, you know, films that I'd watched. There are some chemotherapies you don't lose your hair. My chemotherapy, I had two different types. One of them required me to paint my nails black before each treatment so that the nail bed wouldn't lift off. And there used to be an ice cap you could wear. It wasn't available where I was being treated, but there are some places that do that. So it's never to really assume that what someone is going through, even if you've gone through cancer, is the same experience. So allow them. So I would say, if I had to relate it to your audience, it's like COVID. We may have all gone through the same experience, but our individual experience of that will be very different. You know, so it's where it's like grief. You know, there's a lot of buzzing around you when you first get diagnosed. And then when you've had the funeral, you're sort of got, you've just got your focus to get to that point. That's your destination. And then after the funeral, everyone rightly carries on with their lives, but you're left going like, what was the meaning of that? How is that? How do I carry on now? What have I learned from that? And what do I do moving forward? So I think that because I had this perception, I just needed to get to 5 years. And that is often where you get your first diagnosis, percentage-wise, the likelihood for you to live up to 5 years. So it is a definite sort of horizon point you work towards. But actually, when I got to it and I spoke to my surgeon that day, I was so ready for him to give me a certificate or a letter. And it was basically because I was about to go travel abroad. And for insurance purposes, a lot of your insurance, it financially impacts you hugely because they want to know that you're going to live to repay a loan or be there for the insurance. And so I was going in with that intention. And of course, he quite rightly reminded me, you know, there's a lot of my patients who've not sat here at 5 years. And so I sort of entered the pool of, I don't know how long I'm going to live like no one does. But what I did want to do is I didn't want anyone to miss an opportunity and have to wait to a life-threatening illness before they really lived fully and what they wanted to do for their authentic selves to be revealed in both their personal and professional lives. And that's why I created the business that I'm creating is Create Full Life, is a pun on, you know, being grateful that I've got this life, but I want people to help them on their journey to create a full life that's meaningful to them. Because what might be for me really important, and I have a client who loves running, and for her that's like breathing, and for me that is just a nightmare. I'd rather go walking or explore something, but running and my knees, and as you know, we spoke before, unfortunately I fell over and twisted my ankle at the weeding, and because I've got osteoporosis as part of from the cancer med, I'm unfortunately fractured my foot. So I've got this rather beautiful, thankfully you won't be able to see it on the podcast, big boot I'm wearing at the moment. So it puts life in perspective, and it's finding that joy and that meaning for yourself each day and surrounding yourself with beautiful people that support you and that you can support them. I think that's really important in life.
Yeah. Before we go any further, Louise, I just want to let people know, because they've got an understanding of what you've gone through, and they're getting a better knowledge of who you are and what you mean to them. So I want to let them know about your website, which is louisejames.com. So it's LOUISEJames, JAMES. .com. So if you want to connect with Louise there, you can do that there. So if you've got a story that you want to get an understanding of, or you've got questions you want to ask, she's there for that. Or you can contact her on her email, which is louise@louisejames.com. So louise@louisejames.com. Yeah. And I just wanted to put that forward because we've got a little ticker tape running on the video, but of course the podcast don't see that. Now, back to you. What I want to ask is, your book is called No Full Stops, A Memoir. What on earth is full stops?
So for me, I thought that cancer was going to be my full stop to my life script. This is it. This is the end. I lost all certainty of what I knew before and what I thought I was going for with life. I wasn't sure if I was going to be living to see my son start high school. And I'm delighted to say that I'm surviving now the teenage years with both my children, are 17 and 15 now. I've just seen him graduate from high school. With regards to full stops, because I thought it was, but really, for me, the only full stop in life is death. And I saw that that was a possibility in my diagnosis. I actually, in 2018, a few years after I'd gone through my treatment, I sat with my father whilst he, the last 4 hours as he passed away. And it took away a lot of the fear of passing. But for me, it was that, that again, as I said before, is not living your authentic self or not being true to who you are is probably the greatest gift I could give people, a sense of looking for their purpose and meaning to their own individual life and showing up fully as themselves. And that means we do often have to look at the bits that, the shady parts of us that we don't always want to admit to ourselves, but actually facing those helps us understand how we behave in life, how we react to people. And it's really just a question of not judging or shaming ourselves or making us feel guilty for the person that we are, but embracing all those sides. So for me, the full stop moment I thought was cancer, but actually it's about living with no full stops, because we all have pauses and stops along the way. You know, when I was no longer with my children's father, my son's diagnosis, my diagnosis, when we move house, divorces, COVID at the moment for people will be, you know, they might have been retrenched or financial crises. It's not the circumstances we go through in life that's the important part. It's how we go through those, what we learn from them, and what we take forward. And for me, that's where I always say there's a big power in the pause. It's really stopping, regrouping ourselves, reflecting what's happened, not dwelling on what's happened, and then taking that learning forward and really tapping into our own intuition of what is meaningful for us and creating that, more of that in our daily lives, but also what we might want in our future. So that's where I mean with the full stops. And I think the first part is by sharing our stories and expressing them without judgment, and being brave and courageous to be vulnerable helps us connect with other people. It's very healing for the person telling it, but also for other people. It can be they don't feel so alone. And that was one of my purposes with the book, because you are surrounded by support, but it can be a lonely path to tread, because you can't, unless you talk to someone who's who's in that stage. It's a bit like if you have, you know, when you're in the mother's group, you know, you're in those friendships you join with those early days of childhood, because everybody might have experienced childhood. But when you're in the trenches, living it day to day, it's actually having that relatable sphere of support where you can freely say, this is not a good day, or I'm feeling really sad, and allowing yourself to have that feeling and release it. That's really important. So by sharing our stories, we can connect, we can heal, but we can also grow and learn from other people's experiences. And I hope be a bit more compassionate in the world. We all have human elements. And I think that is part of why the book resonates, is it's not just a cancer story. And it's it is part for people who might be going through it, but for carers as well. But it's also a human story. You know, there's family dynamics, you know, the children, how you deal with those sort of situations, and humor. So there's universal themes that we all go through. And that's, for me, one of the biggest drivers for me, is to be open and vulnerable so that people can feel that they can express themselves as well in a safe place. And that's what I wanted to build in my business going forward, is providing that for someone to unpack themselves. Because often when we share it with friends or family, they might try and fix us, or they'll try and give us a solution. And sometimes we just need to sit and say it and hear it for the first time. There's a power when you speak your words. It really resonates through your body and the emotions. So by sharing that with someone else and being heard, seen, and validated, that's really important as well, because we all want that. We want to feel that we've got a purpose, that we're seen for who we are, for all of us.
So absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that was lovely and well said. Really well said. What I want to take from that is, you're talking about words. Now, I know you've always been fascinated with the power of words and how they can motivate and uplift us, but they can also drag us down as well. So a simple terminology or wording or something can have such a impactful event on somebody in a positive or a negative manner. So we do really need to be very, very mindful. But when I was talking to you about it earlier, you were also saying about the words that we hear in our head or the words that we are saying to ourselves. And these are those stories that we keep repeating over and over again. Can you elaborate on that one a little bit more for me?
So it's kind of like negative self-talk. And sometimes we are so conditioned and we've heard it so many times in our own head, it actually feels like it's really real. And it is how we will judge ourselves. You know, as parents and as a parent myself, there are things I'm probably sure that I would have said to my children and they will take, like having had a child with autism and Asperger's, they cling on to literal words that you say. And that gives you that perspective of going, you know, I remember saying one time to him, come on, pick up the pace, meaning hurry up. And he was like, where's the pace? Where's the pace? And I'm like, no, it's not a literal thing. When we are children, we often hear things and we make a meaning of them. And then that reruns that program in our subconscious. So, for example, it could be that your mother's so busy, she just hasn't got time for you. And you're being noisy and they're just like, just stop talking about yourself or you're being too noisy. And that story goes in your head like, I'm too noisy, I talk too much. And it may form in your subconscious and then you don't realize until you start looking into that area that that actually could form a pattern where you're afraid to speak up, to tell and talk about yourself because you've been told you talk about yourself too much or that you're too loud. We have those incidences and we don't often as adults correlate that that's actually what's still happening because our subconscious is like 95% running, you know, on a program every day and only 5% of what we're aware of what we're saying. So that's where I really wanted to unpack what was I telling myself and really look at the words, you know, are they helpful that what I'm saying to myself? Are they negative or positive? Do they move me forward to what I want to do or are they holding me back? Are they my own words? Do they sound like something someone else has said to me before? I've heard before from a family member that you'll never make money from writing, but I've always written and I've always written for marketing and business development in corporate life before I even wrote the book. So it's something that you can say to yourself, oh, no, I shouldn't do that because of this. But actually, it's not really the truth. So you really need to unpack that. So when I talk to people about their emotions, or I will reflect back some of the words that we say, and sometimes we just say them without thinking. They just come out of our mouths. And when you sort of reflect them back to a client and say, is that really what you think? Or is that really what you mean here? It actually allows someone to hear it again. It's come out of their mouth and really analyze or really check in with themselves. Sometimes we start saying things in our heads or we say something and we have a visceral reaction in our body. And that's our emotions telling us, can you just check in with yourself and look at what that is? You know, we often think that when we get emotional, it means there's a danger thing. Our ego, our brain is wired to keep us safe. So we will always be looking for reasons to not let us move forward. So it will give us that anxious feeling when we're sort of stepping away from our comfort zone. But at the same time, we need to move from our comfort zone. Otherwise, we're just repeating the same life we've lived with different, slightly different scenario versions of it. And that's where we need some support to help us be brave to move forward because we can't always see it for ourselves.
And when you're talking about the words we're using, is it like, for an example, is there a particular word we could use that we may be using that we could substitute it for something else?
The first thing I would do is, say something like, oh, I never win the lottery. and actually I have, but I've only won about $10. But say I never win the lottery, for example. will actually start changing, like, well, what would happen if I did win the lottery? What is, I say never. Have I never won it? But yes, I have. I have won it, but only a smaller amount. It may not be the amount I wanted. So always just look at the actual individual words, change them around. What would it be if I did win the lottery? Look for scenarios that proved or disprove what you've just said. Because often never is a very strong word. It's like hate. You know, it could be it's hate, but it's actually more I'm frustrated. It's not that I hate that person. That person frustrates me. Well, why does that person frustrate you? Is there something that they're doing that actually you're not brave enough to do yourself, or that you think they're showing off or speaking their words, and it's because actually you're feeling uncomfortable speaking your own words? There's a lot we can learn about the way we react to words, the type of words we're saying, changing the words around, and really, you know, sit in and feel like, how does it feel in our body when we say that? Are we excited and uplifted? Because if it is like, you know, it's like when they play that Spotto game with your kids, you know, and you say, right, Spotto, if you see a red car, well, suddenly you're always looking around for red cars to look at them. So if you've got negative thinking, you'll always be thinking, looking out for negative things to reconfirm what your belief is. And that's where we need to tackle what our self-beliefs are, is to really see, are they real? Is it something we've been told before? And it's a practice. Change is hard, and it's uncomfortable sitting with uncomfortable emotions, but we move through them. We're not stuck in them. We're only stuck in them if we fear even exploring them. And sometimes I think when we have negative thoughts, we think a bit like Pandora's box. If I open this up, oh my God, it'll never close again. You know, and for the first part after cancer, no one wants you. If you've got a time limit, you don't always go, oh, well, let's look at all the bits that I've never wanted to look about myself. You know, it was a few years after that where I was like, do you know what? I keep repeating. I'm still getting frustrated. There's something that I'm missing in my life. Let's do the work and really uncover that. So I hope that helps a bit, so just to question it. And I would, the one word I would use is be curious. Yes. Be curious about it rather than defensive or justifying. Oh, no, I'm right to feel this. Of course, you're feeling it. No one's saying that you're not allowed to feel it. But I'm one of the people who would say that definitely you have to feel it, because you have to feel it to heal it. But be curious about it. You know, you're not going to have to sit in it. Like, emotions, when they sit in your body, can be released. They can't sustain a really traumatic energy level in your body for a long time. So explore it. Be curious about it.
And I guess the other thing is, as you're talking about that, I think about the triggers. So when we're feeling an emotion or something's going on, it's when you're saying to be aware of it or to explore it, I suppose I go back to, what were the triggers? What caused it? Yes. Especially if it is an emotion that you perceive as negative, because a negative emotion is one to get your awareness of it. So let's go back another step and go, okay, so what were the triggers for it? How do you look at that? Because I know if I turned around and said, well, what were the triggers? The kids would say, well, she did it. She touched me and rah, rah. So how do we look at it without blaming?
Well, first of all our emotions are telling us something. So we perceive them as negative, like anger. You know, and I look at someone with autism, they can get angry because they're frustrated because they can't communicate. But actually, their anger is a communication. Usually anger masks a pain we've got or a frustration. But actually, they express it and then it's gone and it's out and they're carrying on to something else. Whereas we are conditioned to hold it down, don't say it. And it's really having that acknowledgement. Okay, they must have made you really sad that your friend said that. Let them have their experience, their feeling. But when we're older, it's there's actually a modality that I have become a practitioner with. It's called self-directed healing. And one of the things that we do is get the clients to really go back into their bodies, really experience where the feeling, when they've got a trigger, we're looking for triggers. We're using it as a detective. Like, where are you feeling it in your body? And then through a process, we'll almost take them back to when they might have experienced that same feeling in their body when they were younger. And really go back into that moment when they were younger, or what was the situation, what was happening around that time, and really get that connection back to the inner child within them. Maybe they weren't allowed to voice that they were angry. Maybe they were scared, but it was like, you know, monsters under the bed and you couldn't say it. So it's always darkness has always held this big panic for them because they weren't allowed to, in a child's mind, process that this was actually, it's not a reality. And so they've always harbored that. So it's really doing that sort of deeper work when they're kids, actually kids really expressed, but we just often don't have the time or allow them to say it, or we're like, don't get angry. That's when we're in a public place and we're in the playground. You should all play nicely. And I think as parents, we can be quite simplistic about it. We can almost say to them, we'd never say to an adult, oh, that's a girl. She's 8 years old. Off you go and play. But we do it with our kids. Just go and play with that person. We don't allow them to go, actually, let me find out. I like this type of play and they like rougher play, or, you know, to allow them to have their own experiences and share that and learn from each other. We often try and cookie cutter everyone. And there's something that I've learned about myself through my son is I'm not cookie cutter. And so I like to work with people and tailor my approach to what their needs are and what their requirements are. Because we can't blanket everyone and say, when this happens, you'll feel this. Just like in grief. You know, it's a cycle that people go through, but how they react to it, there are other people who are judging and go, oh, I don't know that. She's dating now. She should be grieving still. But we don't know what's happened behind the scenes or how long that person's grieved for already. So it's just being less judgmental, more open communication, and allowing people to express how they want to. Now, not everybody is going to want to write down or journal. They might want to vision board or an art therapy piece where they can draw and express themselves. So with kids, it's through play. You know, often when you're doing counseling with children, it's through play and interaction. And that's where someone's allowed to freely express and they're tapping into their intuition naturally. That's often where we get those nuggets coming out and going, ah, this is the trigger and this is where it's come from. And we can help them process it and make those dots together. And that's the same with adults.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. So we're getting a little bit low on time now, Louise, and I do want to talk about your book again because it is an Amazon bestseller and it is called No Full Stops, a memoir. And you can actually get it on the website, which is called nofullstops.com, or again, louisejames.com as well. So you can get it from both of those. I can't remember what I was going to say.
Well, I guess that the only difference is you can get it along. It's on like, I don't know how many thousands of, it is an Amazon bestseller. And I was really fortunate. It went number one in a number of categories, personal transformation, memoir, etc., and cancer and other categories, because I wanted to make sure it could be accessible. It's actually an ebook as well. You can download on Amazon. The reason I have it on my website is that I, you know, will write inside signature for you for whatever that's worth, but just to have that personal contact. But yes, you can go to Amazon, Barnes and Nobles. I know you've got people in the States as well. So throughout the world, it's available. And I'm at the moment starting to write my second book, which is exciting. But it was released earlier in this year. I was writing it and I actually took a pause because, of course, here in Australia, we had the bushfires. We've had COVID. I'm surprised we haven't had toads or some other biblical thing come down.
We have them in Queensland. Thanks very much. You can have them in New South Wales. We don't mind.
Yes, I know. There's been quite a few things. But I think that it's that no full stops, that mentality of living life with no full stops is that just living in the now and in the present, because when you do lose certainty, and so some people with COVID, they've lost the certainty of what they were planning in their life. So I hope that this book, I left some of the pages at the back for people to put their reflections and really take that moment when they've read it to see if there's any themes, any inspiration they took or things that they would like to action in their life, just to really do that full circle completion of what is it that, you know, use that opportunity in that time to really see how, what meaning they provide, the book provides for them, and what they would like to take from it. So delighted if it gets into whoever needs to have it. I've had some lovely feedback from both people who have had cancer, who might have said, I wish this is something that was available to people when I was going through it, and carers, and also people who haven't had cancer and have just enjoyed laughing at me, probably.
Well, you know what I've taken out of it, Louise, in this talk and that, to me, what came forward was like, there's no full stops. There's only pauses. And I think that's what you've really, really put forward here. We may feel it's a full stop, like you say, with COVID or with cancer or with anything like that. It might feel like a full stop when you've been given that information, but really you need to take it on board as a pause, a time that you have to reflect, a time that you have to look at what is going on, how you can do things differently, how you can change things up. So it really allows that time to almost breathe, you know, that pause. So I love the concept of it. I think it's fantastic. And it's something that we need to be mindful of. I've had a few things happen in my life too, and when I look back at them, I can see that I needed that time to pause, to assess what was going on, to understand what was happening, and feel it and grow with it. So I love it. I think that's wonderful. But I've got a couple of minutes left. I want to cross back over to you again, and I want to get, for the listener's sake, I want to get an understanding of this new, you're putting a new program together, you said.
Yes. So if you see it as a coin. So actually my book, the logo itself I created was called it No Full Stop. It's like one side of a coin. And so it's coming into that awareness of who we are as a person, what we want out of life. And then on the other side is, okay, if we have that awareness, now I need to heal from some of that, but I also want to create the life that I want to live fully, and whatever that full means to you. I think the word success can often, is a triggering word for some people as well, because it kind of, people think it's about money. But a successful life, I know when I thought I was dying, I wasn't going, I wish I had a boat in the front garden and a tractor and designer clothes. It was
tractor?
I don't know why. Countryside, the Southern Highlands. I knew it was more about the experience I'd had with my children, the risks I'd taken to bring us down to the countryside, getting Labradors, where I think everyone thought I was going completely insane, of adding other things into our lives, other mouths to feed. And it's really just moving forward, looking at what you want. And so I would ask anybody just to really take that pause, that time. I know that for my own health, I was always in firefighting mode. I collapse with my emotions or something, and it's like, get back up and carry on. And that is a survival mindset. But really, to try and get into that thriving mindset is really allowing yourself that creativity, that intuition to come through, and really go from looking for outside validation and what everybody else says you should be, but listening to your heart and what you feel like you want to achieve. So that would be what I would suggest. And it's all about perspective. There's always someone, I always say to my kids, someone who's worse off than us and someone who's better off than us, but enjoy the moment, enjoy the now.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so much. And so again, I just want to run through it. Louise@louisejames.com for the email, louisejames.com for the website, and No Full Stops, a memoir by Louise James. And you can get that on Amazon and all good bookstores.
Online. There are some bookstores that are selling it. Can go and buy a copy. If you go to louisejames.com, that will be, everything's on there. And then the other side of the coin that I was mentioning, that business is about helping people through their personal self-discovery journey. I retrained as holistic counselor and life coach, And another number of healing modalities, which one of which, as I mentioned, about the emotional release and in the body. Yeah. And so that's the program, because I want to help people to support and meet them where they're at and help them through their journey. So it's about creating that full life. So,
wow. Yes. And that's called a full life. That's on your website, or are you still developing it? Yep.
So okay, cool. When you go to the website, it will have holistic guidance and healing, which will be all in that area. I'm creating a website that's specific to that at the moment, but the information is there, and then you can connect to me and I'll work out where you are at the moment and then allow you to select which works best for you, because I want to empower people to make their own decisions and access their own self-healing capacity. So for me, it's about empowering women through counseling and coaching to, you know, so that they can go from beyond working with me and step forward in their own power. We all have that, and sometimes we just need to reconnect to that.
Absolutely, absolutely, totally agree. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed it. Again, if you want to connect with Louise, you've got all the details there, and she can help you through different things like that. We'll close it there. I will say goodbye. Thank you again for being on the show. I will chat with you after. Don't go away. I will chat with you after that. Is there one last thing you want to put forward before you go?
I just want to encourage everybody to know that whatever they're feeling and going through at the time, don't let that circumstance stop you from moving forward. Just allow yourself to feel it, to heal it, and keep moving forward. Life's a beautiful thing to embrace, and just hold everyone close to you, and lots of love to everyone. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Wow. Thanks, Louise. That was amazing. And like so insightful. It really makes a difference when we can get that understanding from other people of what you're going through or how you can help somebody else if they're going through it. And like Louise said, allow them to speak, allow them to say what they need to say. You don't necessarily have to fix them or respond or anything else, but just give them that space. I think it's a safe space, you know, that space to pause, as Louise said. There is no full stops. It's a time to pause and keep going. I love that. So if you want to connect with her, you know where to do that. Me, on the other hand, if you want to connect with me, it's Intuitive Personal Development Facebook group. I do live readings on there. Or, of course, subscribe to the podcast. Why not? Or the web TV show. So that's me for today. I will have a great 2022. I will be seeing you anyway, but a great 2022 and a happy new year, and we will chat with you very, very soon. Okay, bye for now.